The family. The smallest unit in the community is the family. However, the mother is the most significant person in a family. There are no words to express the task which is done by a mother. This story will illustrate a story that happens in a small family which has three members. The mother of this family was conscientious about everyone who lived in the house. Her persistence and determination were amazing. Her husband was an impatient and rude person. Everyone in the community disliked him. Furthermore, the husband did not corroborate that much to his family. Therefore, the lady had worked hard to find money, and she took care of her young boy too. The boy was a school kid. Indeed, they had struggled to survive in this community. However, not only the lady was a good mother to her kid, but also she was an amazing wife to her husband. Also, she was very kind for anyone. The boy loved and respected so much to his mother. One day, there was an argument between the man and the lady. So, the husband got mad at his wife. He was very impatient at this moment. Then he left his wife and kid. The man wanted to begin a new life with another woman. Even though the lady was scared to live without his husband, she had an amazing fortitude. Therefore, she was able to feed her son and give him a better education. However, even though the man found several women from this community, none of them did not want to live with him. Consequently, not only he was addicted to drinking, but also he wasted his money for inconsequential things. After several years, the son found a girl and got married. The new girl was an active and nice girl. She loved his mother-in-law. Also, she felt sorry about her mother-in-law. After the marriage, the lady lived by herself, and she felt that she's alone. By that time, the man felt bad about the decision that he took to leave his family. He wanted to spend his rest of the life with his real wife. He ascertained that he did a huge fault to his family, but he was ashamed to see his wife's face and apologize. However, one day the new girl and this man met. While she was talking with her father-in-law, she recognized about the new hope which was in man's mind. After that, this eloquent girl illustrated about everything to her mother-in-law and asked to forgive the man. Eventually, the lady agreed to forgive her husband. The man had changed his attitude and some characteristics too. Eventually, they lived their rest of the lives prodigiously. The life is very short. Everyone is supposed to respect each other and live happily. Thank you.
In a time far removed from recorded history, there was a war. The war had no probable cause. It was the result of anarchy and chaos. Every weapon imaginable transformed the soils of the earth into an uninhabitable wasteland of smoggy skies, scorched plains, and a terrible array of rock and rubble. Three lone inhabitants have trekked across the battlefield, searching for a miracle, a higher purpose, but as it stands, the end of the world may be upon them. The first of these three inhabitants is Crew. The youngest, the sickest, and the most animalistic of the trio, the boy surrounded himself at all times with a blue bush. Because you could only see his head and his limbs sticking out from the bush, he resembled livestock. His eyes were crazed, his teeth protruded, and his nose was upturned like a pig's. He suffered from an unknown disease that made him think he was an animal. The second of these three inhabitants is Bog. Bog was middle-aged, sickly, and stockly. He was wrapped from the neck down in a ragged red uniform, plastered in burn marks and every kind of stain you could imagine. Underneath his unruly mop of hair, he had sunken in eyes and a ghastly stare. A crooked nose and jaw rounded up his brutish profile. Bog was an illiterate war criminal, searching to atone for the sins of his past. The third of the three inhabitants was Oros. Oros was much older and wiser than both Bog and crew, but he looked the most healthy of the trio. He was garnished in elaborate yellow robes, nary a scratch or scuff on them. He was much taller than Nox, but he was also as thin as a pole. Beyond his droopy eyes and his long nose, the rest of his face was hidden underneath the massive collar of his robes. Oros was a priest. The trio had set up camp. Bog and Oros played chess, while crew frolicked in the nearby plains. With every chess piece that was placed, anger and worry spread over Bog's face. He was worried about his past, his present, and his future. Oros was displeased with this and sounded the bell of spiritual cleansing. Ever since the church bells became rusted from the winds of nuclear warfare, Oros carried a much smaller bell that he deemed the bell of spiritual cleansing. Bog and crew never questioned the process. They just followed it blindly. It put their minds at ease knowing they had such a wise and divine leader to look up to. But in the midst of their meditation, the radio went off. It was the first radio signal in months, and it was a warning. The war has entered its final stages. The war has entered its final stages. It was a hauntingly vague statement, but changes in the space around them made it very clear they had to move. As they packed their bags and wrapped up their rations, they could see that the skies were turning unbelievably unreal colors, and the ground shifted between freezing and scorching temperatures. These were the signs of the nuclear storm. Crew and Bog ran for what seemed like an eternity. Surely Oros must have known where safety was. Alas, Oros did not know where to bring his followers. Death caught off his path wherever he went. Bog was filled with angst. This was the result of the crimes I committed, he reasoned. But before he could wallow in self-pity any longer, crew began to make a massive racket. He was alerting them to the massive jungle that had appeared behind them. Bog was confused. There was no way they could have missed this. Regardless, there was no need to complain. The trio bolted into the jungle and were shielded by the thick jungle leaves. The jungle was ethereal in nature. The plants were bioluminescent, and the ground was both brittle and spongy. For a brief moment, the plants reflected their light onto Oros, bathing him in a radiant gold light. He took advantage of this situation and proclaimed it as a sign of the heavens. Bog and crew, being illiterate, were none the wiser to this trickery. The beasts of this land were familiar in shape, but unfamiliar in nature. Rather than running or eating or doing anything befitting of themselves, they all simply sat and kept a watchful eye on the travelers. As the land grew more and more unfamiliar, Oros slowly began to realize what was happening, seeing this as yet another opportunity to better himself. He asked Bog and crew to stay put as he braved the dangers of the jungle. In actuality, he came across Deus, an otherworldly being he had spent his entire life worshipping and searching for. To lay human eyes upon the sight of Deus was fruitless. They would only be able to comprehend his true form as a stripe of green. Of course, Oros knew this as well. "Share the word I provided you," said Deus. When Oros left his domain, he told Bog and crew the dismal news. The end of the world was upon them. Bog was mortified at the concept. He wished to see Deus to confirm this for himself. However, Oros told him he was unworthy to see Deus. Needless to say, Bog didn't take this well. He kicked, he screamed, and then he went silent. It was his fault. He was in the wrong. The trio set up camp in a jungle that night around a circle of stones. Bog awoke and saw that the stones were suddenly mirrors. He utilized this moment to reflect on his past, his present, and his future. Finally, there came a time when Bog contemplated his death. He tepidly crept towards the peak of the jungle and lifted a foot from the ground. But before he could take his last step, the voice of Deus rang in his ears. "Your friend has deceived you. There is a way to stop the wars, the sadness, and suffering." Bog was immediately enlightened by Deus, provided a vision of a better society, a cure for famine, disease, and all other afflictions that had cursed the land many years ago. All he needed to do was capture the world's attention. As the sun began to rise, Bog knew what he had to do. He rallied Crew and Oros and told them his fantastic plan. Oros was appalled at the notion that the end of the world was something that could be prevented, but Bog was now wise to the truth. The words that Deus had told Oros didn't match up with what he wanted to believe, and so Oros deliberately kept them in the dark to preserve his vision. He had been controlling the beliefs of Bog and Crew with that accursed bell. Oros was furious. If Deus could not entertain his vision, then he would have to do so himself, even if it meant out wiping humanity's salvation. With nary a second glance, Oros rang the bell of spiritual cleansing. "Sick him, Crew." Bog began to run. He ran through the jungle plains. Crew was corrupted by Oros' toxic influence as well as the starvation of the jungle. The further they ran into the jungle, the harder it was for Bog to tell where he was. He was but a streak of red in a void of navy blue leaves. Thankfully, the form of Deus created a path before him, a path of green that led him safely through the jungle. Bog began to climb, up trees and up waterfalls, up physically impossible structures and floating rocks. When Bog reached the top, he did not find himself overlooking the tops of the jungle trees, but rather he found himself in the midst of the church. He bolted up the stairs, followed by the ravenous Crew. Bog could save his buddy if he could just find it. Finally, he had reached the roof of the church, where the rusted bell hung, rusted from nuclear warfare. He slammed the door to the roof to keep Crew from getting in. Bog grabbed the rope and pulled. Nothing. Bog quickly regained his footing. He grabbed the rope, planted a seat on the ground, and pulled. Nothing. Suddenly, the door began to splinter. A void of blue nothingness began to seep through the door. From the nothingness emerged the jungle beasts, all of which were gunning for Bog. In the frenzy, Bog slipped from the bell's podium and fell, still gripping the rope tightly. Ring! The ring was so powerful that it shattered the layer of rust that had built up on the bell. The jungle creatures ceased their chaos and were once again docile. This included Crew, who had regained enough consciousness to finally stand on his hind legs. The ring was heard around the world. Warring nations, political leaders, and foot soldiers all paused what they were doing when they heard the church bell ring. And like a bee drawn to honey, they all walked towards the source of the sound, regardless of how far away they were. The ring echoed throughout the land. Seeing the first people over the horizon, Bog picked up a broom and began to sweep. Far, far underneath the church, far removed from recorded history, the jungle lay dormant. Oros, caught by his own hubris, was doomed to roam the jungles of the underground forever.
All right.